Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Knowing is half the thing. We're already talking about this damn cartoon, and we're not making it on the air. So now I'm making it on the air. It's now on the air. I'm Robert.
I said I was ready to go at like 7:30, and here we are starting barely before 8.
No.
I blame Robert Clark Chan.
No, if you all want a peek behind the curtain, here's what happens.
No one wants that.
Gina is ready all day. All day long, Gina.
I could have said at 2 p.m. Are you ready, Gina? She'd be like, I got my mic. It's on.
Gina can meet whenever Gina wants to meet. 2 p.m., great. 3 p.m., 3:15, 4:15. So I am ready whenever. So at 7 o'clock, I basically start looking at my Facebook chat, hoping one of the boys will say, I'm ready to go early. Now, usually that is something Ray will say. He'll usually say, I'll be ready a little bit early. Or he says, I'll be ready a little bit late. You never know with that fucker. And then what happens is, since Chan doesn't watch the episode until the last possible second, because God forbid he takes 15 minutes of his lunch hour and then 15 minutes after he gets home to watch the episode like the rest of us do.
Yeah, I try and enjoy my life, and the less I have of this kind of thing, the better.
So then today, Ray said he was ready at 7:30. At 7:45, I sent a picture of a spider to the chat, knowing that that is the only thing that Robert Clark Chan fears.
It's true.
And he said, okay, fine, I'm ready. Chan sent us the link, and then Ray wasn't ready, because it turns out Ray lied when he said he was ready at 7:30, so he wasn't ready at all.
If Chan would have put a link to the recording at 7:25, I would have been right here at 7:30.
No, you said I will be ready at 7:30, and then at 7:45, you're like, oh, I got to set up my computer. I got to take it out to the garage. I got to do all this shit, which you could have done at 7:25.
I would be mentally ready. I didn't say that I would be like technically ready.
Mentally ready.
I mean, it's the best I got, Chan.
Are wondering why this podcast has aged me in the 8 years since we've been doing it. This is why.
I would like to state for the record, Gina's statement that the boys, as if this were still, 2015, and we were just all happy-go-lucky single dudes. who could just do a podcast at a drop of a hat and would, because then that means that technically we're not getting turned down for dates at that point.
Good
we're
point.
Actually doing something constructive. By now as aged old men, we have children, so we're dads, which is different from boys. And we have different responsibilities.
Chan, I'm just so tired all the time.
There's Listen, also
you,
that.
You fuckers are the ones who roped me into this podcast. So I will say you pulled what is called a bait and switch and is not legal in the U.S.
I mean, it was like a 6-year bait and switch. So like,
thank you.
We spread that out long enough.
It doesn't matter. We signed a contract and then all of a sudden you guys are bad at time management.
Here's Gina buying a car, and then 8.5 years later, she goes back to the dealership saying, "You lied to me. You said this car would work." It's like, Gina, you put a 250,000 miles on it. Yeah, and I bought it from you.
No one puts 250,000 miles on a car in 8 years in LA, first of all.
Man, I don't know.
I feel like your version of bait and switch is that, like, we put the like the food in one of those box traps where you like pull a rope and you go in and then you eat the food and then you hang out for like 3.5 years. And then we come back. You're like, why are you still? I mean, I don't really want to pull on this rope, but like, would you just go? And you're still there like, I want more food. I'm like, all right, pull the rope. And you're like, you had a shot. You had your chance to go.
So your point is that I should have quit as soon as either one of you got married or had a kid.
It probably would have been a very smart thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, I should have quit. That was when my time stopped being a thing to fill and more a thing to treasure.
Anyway, we're talking about Archie's Mysteries this week.
Speaking of time.
Speaking of time.
It's treasured.
Treasured, yeah.
And is wasted.
Are you talking about the fact that we watched this episode at all?
Okay, Chan, you defend this.
It is what it is. Like, it didn't make me mad. There are shows that we have watched, and, you know, I think we can all attest to, there are things that genuinely make us sad to be alive. And this one wasn't that, but it was just deeply mid.
Yeah, it was very mid, but also here's my beef with it. It's not a Halloween episode. It is a show with like a mildly... Like the whole show, no, the whole show is this mildly spooky premise, which does not a Halloween episode make. And that's like a real amateur move picking this
Halloween,
for one of our coveted Halloween spots.
Halloween is a mildly spooky thing to start with. So that is, it is exactly in the correct tone. Two, what do you want? What's the show that you want? What's the big fancy suggestion that you have that's going to blow our socks off?
Listen, I sent a suggestion of the X-Men Halloween special.
We've done X-Men like 8 times already.
Not the Halloween special. Also, I'm happy to find other actual Halloween specials instead of just a show where it might, at some point, maybe something scary might happen. Like we might as well do like a fucking Brady Bunch episode where like the dog gets lost and people are scared.
Do you want a genuinely terrifying cartoon? Because, spoiler alert, they don't make those for children.
No, I want a Halloween special of a cartoon. I don't want a like, you could have picked any episode of this cartoon. That's a Halloween special.
So this is where we find ourselves. This is what we were arguing about for 20 minutes before Chan demanded we start the show. And, in fact, started it on his own again.
I did.
Which is, this is from a patron, Aaron Mills. Thank you very much for suggesting Archie Mysteries.
We love
doing Patreon patron suggestions for the show. What is at odds here is that Robert Clark Chan chose to do this during the Halloween season
instead of a Halloween episode.
Which, but 100%. By the way, this is the second time he's done this. He did this with another Patreon suggestion. And we yelled at him then and said, this isn't. And he said, oh, well, I was just doing a patron suggestion. And we specifically said to him, those can wait until after our Halloween. And he blames you, Ray, because you wanted to rush through G.I. Joe.
Yeah. What and was I that say, about? That was that was not even there, good.
There's room for everything. Like, we could have done G.I. Joe. Those Patreon suggestions can wait. They know how we do things.
They know how we do things. And that's why they should not, Gina, they should not expect Halloween episodes in October.
We'll get them in February when we do them.
Because our fans are our biggest fans, we definitely need to punish them for knowing as much as they do about us.
Listen, I guarantee you, no one is suggesting these were suggested months ago. We didn't get around to them. And then Chan tried to cram a non-Halloween into a Halloween.
This is spooky.
Thank you. Anyway, Gina,
I'm sorry
you
didn't get Friday the 13th of the animated series for you.
Wait, is that a thing? Or, I would totally watch that.
Saw the animated series.
Dude, don't tease me, Chan.
There are like 8 billion Halloween specials of real cartoons that exist.
They're so bad. We've done all of the palatable ones. Now we're down to like the weird Mormon ones.
First of all, when did we ever want palatable ones? We like the bad. We prefer the bad ones. So I don't know what you're talking about. And second, that doesn't mean, so like next year when you're trying to stuff, you know, a mildly spooky episode of the animated Sabrina the Teenage Witch series to say, well, this is a Halloween thing because it's a witch.
Mild stuffed witch.
I just looked up because I was curious with the 10 most scary, or in this case referred to as the darkest cartoons, only to find out Gina wrote on all of them. What regular shows on this list? Powerpuff Girls is on this
list.
That's
what's happening. Gina's trying to work it.
Yeah. I don't have more episodes like me on there.
I will say, a regular show did a Halloween special every year. I helped write one of them. They are good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it. Let's just do that Castlevania show or something if we're really trying to go for it. I mean, because none of these cartoons are skipped. Mummy's Alive is on this list, for God's sake.
But I'm telling you, if there was a Halloween special of Mummy's Alive, then we could watch that. But we can't just watch Mummy's Alive and pretend that's a Halloween show.
I think a Halloween episode of Mummy's Alive would be just a normal episode. Yeah, exactly. They don't do anything spooky. They like take off their mummy wrappings or just like hanging out at a beach somewhere.
But I'm also a little bit disappointed because I know Robert Clark Chan watches a lot of the dark anime, and I am astounded that he would actually say no cartoon shows are actually scary. You watch that anime, Chan, please.
I haven't watched any of that stuff in a long time is the problem. I keep seeing I haven't even watched Death Note. I feel like
it's not that good
memes, and I'm like, okay, I see what they're doing here.
Unpopular opinion. That show, after about a handful of episodes, gets real draggy real quick, in my opinion.
Oh, is it because you can only write so many notes about death before they get repetitive?
Okay, I'm going to tangent really quick. My biggest problem with the show is that you have your hero who's actually like an anti-hero with this demon who kills people, right? And he's supposed to be like the smartest protagonist of all time, right? And then his antagonist is this detective looking into all the people who are dying from his death notes, who is like also the smartest character in the history of fiction. So he got two Sherlock Holmeses, and there was one scene that jumped the shark where they're playing a tennis match against each other. Why? Because the detective thinks in the back of his mind, there's a 1% chance that this kid could be the killer. So therefore he must follow it up. And then they play a tennis match where, based on how they're playing, it's back and forth in their narrative heads as the one kid goes, okay, I'm going to hit the ball, but I'm going to hit it half as good as I could, because if I hit it too good, he'll probably figure out I'm the killer. Hit, other detective guy. I could tell he hit that ball about half as hard as he could. That's really interesting. I wonder if he did that because he was afraid if he hit the ball as hard as he could, that I would figure out that he was the killer. Does that mean he could be the killer? I'm going to hit it back softly. And I'm just like, what in the hell is happening here? This is atrocious writing. This is a bad show.
Now I want to watch it.
They do that for like 8 minutes. And I swear to God, I just wanted to scream, let this be over. I would rather watch Hulk Hogan's show than another episode of Death Note.
Rock and wrestling?
Absolutely.
What, the reality show?
I would watch the Hulk Hogan sex tape before I watch another episode of Death Note.
Well, yeah. You do like using the N-word a lot, so that makes sense.
How dare you? How dare you, sir? So I'm going to actually start the show. We're talking about Archie's Weird Mysteries. Okay, here we go. This explains a lot. This was made by Deke, of course.
This is like a French cartoon. So it was Deke made it with a French company. So it's not pure Deke. It's got a little French in it.
It's true. It's Le Studio Tex.
It's got a French cut.
What is amazing about this is that it was shown on the PAX network in October of 99. So Halloween. It was often shown with infomercials bookending each side of the program.
The what? The PAX? The
PAX Network, yeah.
K-PAX, it's a movie starring beloved actor.
Kevin Spacey, yeah.
Kevin Spacey. I haven't checked the news recently, but I'm pretty sure he's still...
I haven't checked the news since 2004. Still good.
Okay, so PAX TV was similar to UPN or the, what is it, the CW?
Oh, you shut your mouth. What are you... Did you just besmirch black people and teenagers everywhere in one sentence?
That it was a Johnny Come Lately. It started in 1998 after all the networks had already been established, and it was looking to carve a piece of the pie. It later became Ion Television. So that's what it is. It is Ion Television now. Okay. And originally it was 44 owned and operated station with 20 network affiliates all throughout the country. So they just gobble up these UHF stations. That are all independent and could use an influx of cash, and PAX TV was a thing. Obviously, if they only showed a lot of infomercials, they weren't much of a thing.
Not great. Not a great business model.
They didn't have quality programs like House of Buggin.
House of Buggin is great.
She and I are both just trying to figure out how to navigate that.
You know me, I like to leave a hand grenade and drop a hand grenade and leave the room. Anyway, that is what Ion Television / PAX TV is. Archie's Weird Mysteries, as Gina said, that she that they are. It's a French show. It's Archie. I don't know a ton about Archie. What I'm reading here is, I'm sure this is the deal. Riverdale High is a magnet for B-movie style monsters.
Hold on. Do you not know about the character Archie?
I am aware of Archie. I'm confused by this as well.
What is happening right now? This is like one of them.
Read Archie comic. Who reads Archie comics?
No, but you have to know of the character.
I totally know him.
Surroundings and like the Betty and Veronica Jughead and all of that. And
I'm familiar with them in the way anybody would be who went to a supermarket in the 1980s.
I mean, also, there was just a fairly popular show surrounding this called Riverdale. Also, we know people who currently write Archie comics.
Do we seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jordan Morris, old Mutiny coach, and my current coworker at New Rockstars just wrote a couple great Archies. One's a horror Archie. Also, like Archie had a whole spinoff where it was like, horror Archies, like they do a lot with this. It's also part of the Sabrina universe.
Gina, hold on. I'll stick a nail in this one. There was an Archie versus Punisher comic, and if you don't know that, Ray, you have failed on every level.
What's really funny about this is I was just sitting here waiting for Gina to end her thought so I could say, "Oh, I remember Archie versus Punisher."
I mean, I'll take it as long as you remember. It's a huge property.
The thing is, it's a huge property. I just don't know who's into it. I think of Archie as being a very, very old comic. And I know that they've rebooted it a bunch of times and it's had success. I never hear anybody saying, man, you see that Archie show?
I mean, yes, you know. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Riverdale was big enough that people were basically saying, hey, you watch that Archie show? Pretty cool, huh?
You sound like you're like 79 years old right now, Ray.
Yeah.
No, if I was 79 years old, I'd be talking about that Archie comic.
I mean.
Or if you were 15 years old, you'd be talking about that Archie show.
This is the problem. Born too late to enjoy Archie comics, born too soon to enjoy Archie television shows. Gen X, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's the thing. I didn't watch the show either, so
I watched it.
I'm
sure you're a millennial.
You always claim that you are because you want to seem younger than you are.
Who? Me? I've never once claimed to be a millennial. How dare you?
Oh my God. We had a whole debate about it, and you tried to say, well, I'm an elder millennial.
I never said that. Wait a minute. This is a conversation with a different person.
Who do you think has a better memory, Ray?
I know that I would never accuse myself of being a millennial. I am 100% Gen Xer. I've always been a Gen Xer. I am a happy baby Gen Xer. I would never argue that I was an elder millennial.
No, because I am at the tail end of the Gen X age, which means since you're younger than me, you are a millennial.
I was born. How dare you, Chan? How dare you?
This is driving me insane because we already had this debate. Ray tried to claim he was a millennial and he said, well, the cutoff is 1980. And I said, that's false. The cutoff is 1981. And you said, well, you know, like, so it depends on which site you're looking at. Sometimes like these things.
Those things are accurate, but I was not born in 1980 or 81. I was born before that. So there's no point. I would never have argued I was an elder millennial. That's my only point.
Okay. Agree to disagree. I know better.
There's very few things I know, Gina. And if I'm arguing this one this hard, I must know this. Not necessarily. That's a lie. But the point I'm trying to make is Archie's Mysteries.
You guys remember House of Buggin'?
Dude, how good was House of Buggin'?
I have no idea. I never watched it.
I never watched it either. I just know it was on like after In Living Color.
You guys remember Living Color, the band?
In Living Color turns out very problematic show.
Look in my eyes. I was looking for a missing sketch from SNL that was someone playing David Lee Roth, which led me to that old Dana Carvey recurring sketch, Ching Chang.
Oh no.
It was exactly what it sounds like. It was a wildly racist Chinese caricature played by Dana Carvey about a guy who loves his chicken. Living chicken, not like I make Kung Pao chicken. Like, this dude is in love with chickens as pets. And I had wiped it out of my memory.
Oh, yeah. Because but when Gonzo did it, you didn't bat an eye.
You know what? If Gonzo sounded like, oh, very nice of you. Oh, I like your food. Then, yeah, I would have had the same problem.
Big problems. Now, but this actually reminds me, Robert Clark Chan, you vowed never to do a certain TV show on this program. I brought it up to you like 4 or 5 years ago when I found out it existed.
Was it a Halloween special that he vowed never to do on this program? Yeah. Because then that tracks.
Never again.
It's a good point. Maybe I could get him to do it during a Halloween season. but one of our listeners, one of our patrons, I believe, asked us, when are we going to do the amazing Chan clan gang?
Yes.
From the 1970s, I believe. And I had to unfortunately tell them that we will never do this show unless Robert Clark Chan gives us permission. We have to respect his wishes. Bother Robert Clark Chan on Twitter. Oh, wait.
Chan, did you see this on Twitter? I think it might have been Sir Moxford.
I think that I saw somebody post that. I don't know. Maybe it'll be all of y'all's Christmas present.
That would be a nice.
The people demand it. The people demand it.
If all three of us like took turns making the other two watch something that we just want to watch.
Jesus Christ.
Be a good Christmas.
This is starting to sound like Saw the animated series.
Chan picks
like.
the tennis. The tennis match episode of Death Note makes me watch it again. I make Chan watch the Chan Clan Gang, and Gina just picks a goddamn Halloween episode.
Yeah, because I'm the best. I'm the best of us.
Honestly, this kind of sounds great. Let's do it.
This is the punishment series.
This whole show is a punishment series.
Yeah, I know. That means we have to like really step up our game, which is...
Yeah.
Give me something.
All right, listen. This Archie show is a ghost show like Scooby-Doo where they solve mysteries that are magical or spooky in nature. I just wrote here, I don't really get Archie. I know it's a thing. We've discussed that already.
Stop saying it. It's making me mad.
This opens with nature being fully disturbed and a sandworm appears. So immediately the show wants you to know there is a real sandworm. Yep. So there's no actual mystery,
no mystery
in Archie's mysteries.
Well, weird mysteries means that it's one of those mysteries of nature.
But the whole episode is them trying to figure out what's going on under the ground. Yeah. What are you talking about?
It's just weird that they give up the goose 30 seconds into the episode and the characters spend the next 15 of 20 minutes not knowing what's going on. I don't know.
I mean, that's because there's two different ways to tell a story. It's either the audience is in on it and knows something that the characters don't, or the audience isn't in on it. And they just chose, it's not like, I think you probably read the Wikipedia page, say, comparing it to Scooby-Doo and expected one thing. Also, I'll say, you know that this is like a weird, cheap show when you look at like the voice actors and recognize no one.
Nobody.
All I know is that every time they went for the like monster voice, it just sounds like a guy going, rawr, rawr. Like, Frank Welker.
I know. What it should have been Frank Welker. Also, there's Frank like a Welker. Weird thing throughout this episode because they're in the town of Riverdale. And again, you know, Archie has crossovers with many things, but it's in the same universe as Sabrina. So Sabrina often crosses over. It's not like an abandoned town. And yet there we see like four people for this entire episode. They are in the middle of town.
Yes.
Well, a portion of the time they're in Old Town, which is like some sort of ghost town that exists, like just like.
No, they're going to turn it into like a shopping center. It's got to be like.
Sorry, go ahead, Gina. Sorry.
No, I'm saying like at one point they're like driving on main roads. They're like, and like Archie's dad is like, come on, we got to go to our dance for the town. And it's like, what town? Is everyone dead here? Like, what's happening? Why are there? It's like, you can tell it's a Deke show because they're probably like, don't waste money drawing more people.
I just want to yell at Chan because one of the episodes, there were 40 episodes of this made, and episode 33 is literally called Halloween of Horror.
Uh-huh.
And that's not the one we're doing.
Why? Here's the thing. What is
wrong? When I was in like the sixth grade, my mother took me to see Lair of the White Worm. So when I saw that there's going to be a white worm in this thing, I was like, hells yeah, let's see what this is all about.
Like, we literally have Ship of Ghouls. Something is haunting Riverdale High.
Damn
Mega
it,
Mall
Chan.
Of Horrors. Monster in the Night. Zombies of Love.
Yeah.
Curse of the Mummy. The Haunting of Riverdale. Any of these would have been better choices, but one literally has Halloween in the title.
I mean, Worms is cool, man. Sorry.
Dune. It's a Dune thing. This is a Dune thing. Just admit it.
Nah,
if we said the title is The Day the Earth Moved, which is a nice play on the famous movie, 1951 movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, which was then remade in the 2000s, which you can now watch on Tubi. But so I had high hopes because this is kind of a smart title, at least.
All I'm going to say is that, Lair of the White Worms, great film. It's got Ken Russell. He's the director. It's got Peter Capaldi. It's got the 12th Doctor in it, like back before he was a thing. Hugh Grant shows up at some point. I don't hardly remember, but it's a great, great film. Should check it out.
I mean, The Day the Earth Moved was a 1974 ABC movie of the week about not being prepared for earthquakes.
Did they tell people to get under their desks?
It's like, you know, nobody believed it till it was too late. Earthquakes, the day the earth moved.
But also, this entire episode is a ripoff of the movie Tremors, and I will point out exact moments where it's Tremors.
There was a whole bunch of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's all I could think of. Yeah.
There's a part where the tremor worms go row, row. What was that?
I remember that's my favorite part is when they show the worms in Tremors in the first 30 seconds, and then it takes an hour for anybody to figure out that there are worms in this story.
Oh, I mean, just the other day I was home. I went out of town, so I was somewhere where there were no cats, and I heard a noise that in ordinary circumstances I would ascribe to a cat. Mm-hmm. But you know, like in a horror movie, it would definitely be the killer coming up to stab me in the face. And I understood that. And I thought to myself, oh boy, I bet I'd do really poorly if I were in a horror film. Cause I would do exactly what people do in horror films, which is just like, beer, 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 beer. This is a totally normal thing. And then I get stabbed by the horror monster.
Yeah, but those people don't know they're in a horror film. You have the advantage of knowing that they're in a horror film.
Well, nobody knows they're in a horror film until they get stabbed by the horror monster.
That's the problem.
So nobody, why would Archie's first thought be, there's a giant white worm that sounds like a 40-year-old man with emphysema?
Well, I can tell you, Chan, because 32 times before this, he dealt with zombies. Mm-hmm. He dealt with mysterious curses. Mm-hmm. Veronica became 50 feet tall. There was a mummy.
Ray, you've
werewolf.
Never watched The X-Files, have you?
Thank you. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, it's not Jillian left
Anderson
field.
Can be fooled that many times. What makes you think that you're...
You know what? I take it all back. You're right. You invoke Gillian Anderson, I just have to bow.
Agreed.
That's a fact. Okay. So we know there's a thing. Nature's disturbed. It's the first day of spring. So Archie's dad says it's time to put on a skirt. I mean, kilt. That was a constant joke. It's like the people who wrote the Archie show just suddenly discovered that kilts were a thing.
Also, this was from 1999 to 2000.
Come on,
this
dude.
It's so late to be making a ha ha ha. What's that? Like,
yes.
I mean, you know, if anyone who's seen National Lampoon's European Vacation knows what a kilt is.
Yeah.
This is a deeply Limp Bizkit response. I feel like this was the time and the mood was still very bro-y new metal. And so anything that looks even remotely like a, like, it could just be like baggy shorts that are too baggy. And you're like, oh, your skirt, you wear it, you're a girl.
In 99, you think? In 99, there were like metal bands wearing kilts in 99.
Yeah, now, I think by 99 it was over.
And they were doing that earlier than that. But I'm saying that then there was a bit of a, because Woodstock 99, that's where I feel like is peak bro-y awfulness.
I don't know. To me, doing kilt jokes like this in 99 is a bit like making I don't understand chopsticks jokes in 2023.
Yeah. I for once, I agree with Ray. I think
Thank
99.
You. I did it.
Especially because it's like, it's such an ongoing thing that no one knows what a kilt is. It's so weird. And also, like, it's this, even within this world that they set up, where like everyone in town is like, why are you wearing a skirt? Like within this world, it's established that once a year, since the development of this town, someone has worn a kilt and done this dance in like the center of town by the big bell. Mm-hmm. So you mean to tell me that none of these people have like know what a kilt is? It's just insane. It's bizarre. The jokes are not even good. Like no. It would be worth it if it was like, you know, I don't know.
Oh, wait, hold on. Gina's about to come up with the killer skirt joke.
I'm waiting on it.
Let's hear it.
No, I was going to say, like, it's worth an outdated joke to me if it's, like, really funny.
No, I'm ready to grind this show to a halt to wait on Gina's amazing kilt / skirt joke.
Yeah, what's so funny about a dude wearing a skirt, Gina?
I mean, something like, don't cry over kilt milk. How do you like that shit, boys?
Wow, that is...
I don't know. I feel like you could have gone with spilt kilt. And it would have been, you know what? Half of one, six dozen of the other. Gina, here's the deal. I accept your presentation. Now, this note here. Are all the windows in all the buildings supposed to be horribly broken, or are those meant to be shadows?
No, that's from the earthquake. That's from the earthquake, Ray.
The earthquake hasn't happened yet. These are dilapidated buildings we find out later.
This is old town.
Yeah.
But we see some of them break at some point.
The worm breaks the entire town, but it's just, they're here, and it kind of reminded me of, what's the post-apocalyptic, maybe Brave Star or something, where we watch where it's like all the, there were like broken windows all over, and I thought it was cool world building, that they had neon signs next to broken windows. I don't know what show was that. But
Blade Runner.
It was Blade Runner, ladies and gentlemen. That famed cartoon show that we watched here on Knowing Is Half the Podcast.
Dude, Blade Runner, the animated series, was pretty decent. I'm not going to lie.
Now I don't know if that's real or not. God damn it. I just wrote it because it looked like just a weird design choice, because I could have justified in my brain that those were reflections of trees and whatnot just to give some like texture to the side of the building.
There's no texture in Deke cartoons.
Oh, I know. I gave him too much credit. I don't know what I was thinking. I didn't know it was Deke at the time, to be fair. And so all these buildings are all condemned, basically. Why we're even here to ring a bell? Like, the town is correct to raise all of these buildings, take the valuable stuff from inside, and destroy this part of town. This part of town was already destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, that is a problem, because when they're like, yeah, we're going to tear this down and put up a mall, I'm like, I agree. Like, yeah. I'm not necessarily one for malls, but, like, this is a shithole and, like, dangerous. Literally, and I just went back and checked, and this was pre-earthquake. All of those windows were broken pre-earthquake.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
This is just a filth hole. And it's weird that, I guess, the previous year, they still held this festival, like some sort of city festival. And then for some reason, all of a sudden, like, he's the only one left that does it.
It's weird. It's a weird, they're not doing a good job setting up their own premises.
It's not great. Not great.
Now, they do say that they're doing a dance. Archie and his father are doing a dance with the kilts on the front steps of this condemned building where there's a bell in the tower. And I did appreciate his friend. I forget which one said it. I'm going to assume Betty. And Jughead's just like, hey, man, we got, they're wearing those weird skirts. They're dancing around doing a Scottish rap song. Thought that was funny.
What was it?
But then it was good enough for this show. And then Betty says, you know what, guys, let's not make him feel weird. Let's just pretend we've seen this before. And I was like, that is a good friend. That is an honest to God good friend right there. I appreciated her in that moment.
It felt like it was supposed to be a character moment of some type, but I couldn't figure out what the character was, because it's kind of weird to say it in that way. Not so much like, oh, you know, this is a tradition of theirs and it's weird, but let's, you know, like, let make him feel good about it. It's just sort of like, let's just ignore it. You know, like if someone was like, oh, dude, he's got a huge booger on his nose, we should tell him. You're like, no, let's just pretend like it's normal. I'm like, hey, everybody has boogers on the side of their nose right now. It happens all the time. Okay.
It's fair.
Sign my petition.
That is fair. I mean, that's fair to me. I also like the gang wants to save Old Town. And I'm just, why?
Betty wants to save Old Town.
Why? Like, the tear it down.
Give a shit.
I don't even care if you put a Chick-fil-A here at this point. Let's get these shithole buildings out of here.
Ray hates gay people. Print it.
Veronica specifically says she did not know that was what was going to happen. She's just there to give Betty a ride, which kind of begs the question, like, what does she have on you that you would be willing to drive her like that for?
Chan, this is the 90s we're talking about here. What are you talking about? Just an excuse, any excuse to get out of the house when you have nowhere to go and nobody wants to talk to you. Yes, I would love to drive you to this dilapidated Bell building.
This doesn't seem like a good idea at all.
And why is she there to collect signatures in the most ghosted area of Riverdale?
I'm telling you, there are supposed to be people around. They just didn't draw them.
I mean, that could very well. I'm on board with that. That is ridiculous.
You know what?
Every if they part made of this the plot falls down.
If the premise of the show was it was a haunted ghost town and you just didn't see all the people because they were all dead, that would be a pretty good show. I would watch that.
That'd be a better Halloween episode. I'll tell you that right now.
I mean, the Halloween episode would just be totally normal, like all the people walking around like usual.
Well, that's the other part that really bothers me is because Betty's running, and this would be a complaint about quote unquote liberal slacktivists, is that Betty is going around trying to collect signatures to save Old Town instead of, you know, repairing the buildings or preserving anything here.
Oh, you just wanted to pick up that bell and carry it somewhere to be safe. Or maybe like repair all of the broken windows with her. Does she have a sheet glass company? Is that?
I would just argue these people are all fabulously wealthy.
To be fair, Archie has been in the town. His family has been in the town for at least four generations. Because dude was saying like, is it my father, my father's yeah. father, and father's father, father. So they're clearly wealthy.
I think so. I'm just like, instead of doing nothing but feeling good, do something, even if it's not enough. That's all. Is that weird?
For a kid's cartoon, probably.
Oh, all right. Well, never mind then.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
No mistake. Jack Slater is the last action hero.
Jack, it's Benedict and his Rottweiler.
Okay, Ripper, let's bring down the house.
Whack! Whack!
Big mistake.
Hang on, Danny!
We go up, he comes down. Ah!
Now you're in the doghouse.
Last Action Hero Police Station. You put it together. Figure sold separately. New from Mattel.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Okay, earthquake happens. Yay! No, it's not an earthquake. It's a weird mystery, because there are no fault lines underneath Old Town. Dun, dun, dun.
You know what? I'll buy that. That makes sense why he would think it was a mystery. Because, yeah, we're out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, they haven't started fracking yet, so obviously it's going to be a ghost or whatever. Giant, sperm worm.
I mean, he's right.
Yeah.
Sperm worm. How dare you?
It looks pretty filthy. I don't know.
They do a flashback where Jughead puts his head in a rock tumbler, and I don't know. I didn't like that at all.
I mean, Jughead, if you, like every other person on the planet, knew anything about Archie comics, you would know that Jughead does this kind of stuff all the time.
Now, is he that stupid, though?
That's Jar Jar level.
Peg him for being, like, put your head into rock tumbler while it's going stupid.
He just does stuff because he wants to. It's not even necessarily because he's stupid. He's just kind of like, what would happen if I did this? Like, he probably knows it would hurt, but didn't realize it would hurt that bad.
I don't know. I just
I also did not care for this.
Yeah, no. Okay, so we're going to take over to Dilton. What a name. Dilton.
What is this name?
Dilton. Ladies and gentlemen.
Did they want to call him Dilbert, but couldn't get the rights to it?
My only thought.
The name is Dilton.
Was how close were we of Dilbert being named Dilton? I feel like there's an alternate universe or several where that is the case.
His name is Dilton Doily.
Yes.
He's the smartest kid in town.
He is. Yes. That is an accurate statement. Which begs the question, how dumb are the people in town? But.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. No, that's incorrect. I'm trying to find out if Dilton is an actual name. Dylan is a name. But yeah, Dilton. No.
Listen, a lot of names aren't names until they're made names. Peter Pan made Wendy.
Really?
Dilton showed up in Archie comics. I would think you would like Dilton. I'm looking him up on the Wikipedia right now, Chan, and he had his own spinoff series where he was the focus of his own magazine titled Dilton's Strange Science. So he's a science jerk, Chan.
Oh, crap. Chan, you gotta like Dilton now, unfortunately.
You're best friends with Dilton. He's going to be the best man at your wedding.
It's kind of late for that.
First off, Chan, bummer that you're having another wedding.
Yeah, I'm going to have to let a few people know.
Yeah, listen, it's LA, regrettable. Man. Never rule anything out. This is Los Angeles.
Well, Dilton, he's the town nerd. He gets a seismometer to find hidden fault lines in Old Town. Just because we don't think there's any there. Obviously, these earthquakes are happening, so there's got to be something. He finds a great seismic activity. Oh, it's an earthquake. My seismometer found an earthquake. No, Jughead just sneezed.
Yeah, this I really hated.
Jughead sneezes about a half dozen times, and each one literally jars the bowels of everyone in a 5-mile radius. I'm not on board with this.
It's also never explained. Like, it's not like they don't say at the beginning, like, oh, Jughead has a cold, or like, like the only thing is at some point Dilton says, like, you should have taken a decongestant. But like, it's not like, oh, my allergies are acting up. Like, it's not established that Jughead is like just always sneezes. So we're supposed to assume that this dude just on the same day that there are earthquakes sneezes so hard that it makes a fucking earthquake monitor go off. It's nonsense. Nonsense.
I thought that he was allergic to the worm because they sort of set
it
up.
It never pays off.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, and it's a plot device they use a few times during the episode with no rhyme or reason to it at all. Mm-hmm. Not a fan. We also find out the very random fact that Riverdale soil used to be very fertile.
I thought, again, that the worms had depleted the soil.
Oh, maybe it's the other way around. Maybe the worms tilled the soil, and when they started making sure they weren't there...
That's the spice explanation. The spice comes from the worms.
Okay.
Yeah, it's true. The worms could be eating the dirt and turning it into spice. then everybody would have strange hallucinations. And I don't know, maybe mysterious things would happen in the town.
Is that the plot of Dune 2?
That's the plot of straight up Dune, dude.
Do you want the plot of Dune 2 or the plot of Dune Messiah, which is the sequel to Dune?
No.
That would be Dune 2, yes.
What, Dune Part 2?
I really don't want any more Dune at all. I had enough. I had enough of it.
Wow.
I'm a huge Dune fan, but I'm looking at those that Dune Lego set, and I am not pleased.
Yeah.
But come on. Look at how crazy the Baron looks.
Look, there is a very sad moment coming very, very soon where Robert Clark Chan is hiding in a closet in his house playing his Magic the Gathering Doctor Who Commander deck against his Magic the Gathering Dune Commander deck and crying.
I think Ray only knows two things about you, Chan. It's that you like Dune and that you like Doctor Who. And
wait, does he talk about anything else?
To be fair, my social media postings have been pretty sparse, except for that sort of thing, which honestly is just laziness on my part. I'm just too tired to make jokes these days.
I know one other thing about Chan, and that's he loves the Seahawks, but only when they're playing the Lions.
That is true. That is very
three things I know about Robert Clark Chan. Don't worry, Chan. When I get the Fallout Magic the Gathering Commander deck, I'll play with you.
Mm-hmm. Great. You were the one that said I need to buy Magic cards.
Yeah.
You're playing at work or something.
Yeah, I want to. Then all the people, the person I was going to play with moved away.
Wait a minute. So did you not buy Magic cards?
I bought a whole bunch of Magic cards. And now I'm just sitting on them waiting for another opponent to appear.
All right, Gina, now you have to, when the Supernatural Magic set comes out,
those
and we'll play together.
Okay. I'm in.
Oh, please. They're going to make a Cartoon Network set at some point with all of the hits.
With all of Gina's shows on it.
It's called Just Gina's Shows.
Just That's Gina's Shows. Set.
Oh, good, good.
Let's get some Murphy Brown in there. Some unicorn.
The Murphy Brown Magic set.
I'll be honest. If they made a Murphy Brown Magic the Gathering Commander set, I would buy it immediately.
100%. Oh my god.
Can you imagine if they just did that for like sitcoms of the 80s, you know, the Cheers Commander deck. The Family Matters Commander deck.
I'd buy Family Matters.
Come on, Wizards of the Coast, get your poop together.
Like, if you're gonna do this thing, go all in.
Thank you. I'm gonna ask the fans at home right now. I want you to message us on Facebook, Twitter, wherever you can find. Threads, ideally, even though we don't have our page there yet. But we will. I just want to say, what 1980s sitcom would you like them to do a Magic the Gathering Commander
any franchise
for?
Whatsoever. It could be a sitcom. It could be like a movie series or a comic book series. They're doing so many different...
doing a lot.
Crossover things now, and it's just weird and confusing and unpleasant. But at the same time, I just bought $200 worth of... Doctor Who magic cards, so like, who's the idiot here?
It's not you. I'm gonna say that right now.
Not Watsy.
Anyway, Betty and Veronica go see the bell at the museum. They want to save Old Town, so they go to the museum and start just rifling through all the artifacts behind the ropes. This very made normal. Me very uncomfortable.
Totally. It belongs in a museum. 14-year-old kids to go rifling through.
Wait, what? I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to just start rifling through the books behind the ropes at the museum. Where is security?
I mean, where is anybody?
Where is literally a single second person to be drawn?
I think the small group is actually dead and they haven't figured it out yet. And that's why, that's really why weird things keep happening, because they're in some sort of purgatory and that's why no one else is around.
Look, I feel like
Jacob's Ladder situation here.
Yeah, I feel like I'm watching the Masters of the Universe live action movie that takes place in like New York City or something. And there's no one. There is not one extra in that entire movie. Everywhere is empty. It's if you haven't noticed, go watch the Masters of the Universe live action movie and you'll see there are no extras. It's upsetting. Anyway, same here is what I'm trying to say. Save money on security, I guess, but the problem is all of your artifacts will be destroyed by Betty and Veronica. Bad move, museum. They find old newspaper clippings Another thing I'm pretty sure they're not supposed to be putting their grubby hands on. They find out that earthquakes had happened previously 100 years ago. Are we putting the pieces together yet?
No.
No, I'm not either. I'm very confused.
Wait a minute. Was that the worm?
Yeah, that's a later plot point, Chan, in this episode you just watched.
What?
Chan, the reason they ring the bell is to mimic the song of the worms.
Wait, there was a bell in this?
I swear to God.
The ringing of the bell compels you.
You'd remember the bell if it was in a Magic the Gathering deck, Chan.
I would. That is the worm. That's the very,
yes,
very human worm.
I don't much care for that.
Just ate a telephone booth.
Yeah, so something big is, we're going back to Old Town. Something big is moving underground. The seismometer has disappeared, and then they see a hole. And I'm like, oh, okay, the worm ate the seismometer because it was making noise. And then they point and go, oh no, the seismometer's over in this other spot that it shouldn't be now. And then it goes through another hole. And I'm like, did they? Wait a minute. Exactly.
Oh, my God. Okay. fun fact. I had no idea that my Zoom podcast studio did that until a cat walked over it and stepped on one of the buttons.
So that was pretty excellent.
Oh, my God. Though, I thought that was a clip from the cartoon that I just forgot.
I did too. Me too. I was scrubbing through it looking for something, and I was like, wait a minute, what's, I didn't press any play. What happened? Oh.
You would have soundboarded this entire time and didn't tell us, Chan.
yeah, why did you known, not, like, you should be playing like fucking morning show Z100, like anytime Ray says something, just play right, fart hold noises.
Hold on here, people.
Oh my God.
What is happening?
I love it. I love it. I want each of us to have our own sound effect so that every episode when one of us says something stupid or awesome, we get our sound effect.
Hold on. There's four of these things. Oh, an applause button.
Oh, I deserve
we
that.
We use okay. that. No.
Damn. Hold on. There's one.
Wait.
A rim shot.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, come Ooh. On now. How could you not have tested this out earlier?
Yeah, Chan, didn't we buy you this soundboard like 3 years ago? Like, what is happening?
The fun part is those light, the buttons that those are big, red, and glowing. And I have ignored them this entire time.
Everything about this is upsetting. Okay, here's the deal. Dilton is stuck in a hole halfway down to his waist. The worm is pulling him down. The gang is pulling him back up again. I wanted gore here. I wanted there to be entrails and blood.
Yeah, like his legs get pulled yeah. off, and then yes. he's got like a fucking, you know, like Star Wars. He gets sliced in half by Qui-Gon Jinn.
Mm-hmm. I wanted it. I wanted a Darth Maul moment here. Mm-hmm. Didn't get it. They saved him.
Darth Maul survived that, by the way. He got put back together. So
yeah, he became a giant spider monster under the earth. it's crazy how that show works.
And he had weird burps, too, for some reason. I was never clear why that was.
Okay, so they're trying to drive away from it. The car gets pulled into another sinkhole. They jump from the car as it gets pulled over. They figure out immediately that it's attracted no shit to noise vibrations. The car is thrown in the air and ruined because the worm can't digest it, I guess. Digested the phone booth just fine, so I don't know what the problem here is. Hold still. We're just going to hold still. And it works. Then Jughead inexplicably sneezes again. But the phone booth rings, and it saves them from being eaten by the worm.
Because yeah. Betty and Veronica have the number to that random-ass phone booth Old Town that is somehow still operational.
I think you forget what it was like living in the 90s when you didn't know how to get a hold of people.
Yeah, Chan. You millennials.
I feel like I do remember, and that's not how you did it.
If you didn't have the one payphone at your school, if you didn't know the number of that one payphone, I don't know what you were doing.
And it didn't ring.
A payphone is something the poor kids had to use. Sorry, go ahead, Chan.
It didn't ring. It had a little clicky noise that you had to listen really close for, otherwise you'd miss it.
But you were listening.
Yes, because yes. I was poor.
Yes, exactly. I did the old collect call scam. It's me, pick me up.
We got a baby eats a boy.
We got a baby eats a boy. My favorite. That is, you know what? That is a commercial that should get more attention than it does.
I liked it. Caesar's now, commercial. And now people probably wouldn't get it.
Yes.
Well, no. Collect calls don't really exist in the age of cell phones.
We ought to maybe eat the boy. The TikTok generation doesn't get it, you guys.
No, they don't.
They need to put it in an episode of Suits, and then they'll understand it.
Oh, excuse me. It was a Geico commercial, not a... okay, for the kids at home who have no idea what I'm talking about. This is
about your one coworker.
We're just bringing back all the hits today, aren't we? I am posting posted without comment till the ep drops, and here you go, folks. For you youngsters, do we have to explain this, Alex? Okay, 30 seconds. We didn't all have phones. You had a landline in your house, and there were pay phones everywhere, except they worked. Yeah. More often than they do now, which is never. Also, as part of this was you could make a collect call if you didn't have the coins to put in the slot to make the call. All of us were broke teenagers, so they would charge you like $1.50 for what would be like a 25-cent phone call, but they charge you $1.50 to and 1-800-COLLECT and all these other services started popping up to make cheaper collect calls. But essentially, you would say, this is Ray. And then your mom would, oh, it's Ray. I will accept the charges of this call. They would get charged $1.50, and you would tell them that you need a ride to pick up. What you would do to get around the system is, instead of saying your name, you would say, come pick me up. And your parents would know what you were doing. And then they would not accept the charges. I feel like that was already too long.
There are no children listening to this podcast. Everyone here is old enough to remember that. And it was a wasted effort.
You just described a lot of my life, Chan.
Yeah, I did. We had a baby eats a boy.
We had a baby eats a boy. What a great commercial. For Geico, that was when we used to have car insurance.
why do you keep bringing up Geico?
Because that was the commercial. It was a Geico commercial.
No, it wasn't, because Geico's friggin' insurance.
Yeah, but it was not a call. It was not a 1-800-COLLECT commercial. I just posted the thing.
It was
on
like
Twitter,
how to
Chan.
Save money, Chan, and Geico is also a way Geico to save money.
Right. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, it's a Geico commercial. I'm not saying use Geico for all your collect call needs.
I am conflating it with the collect call commercial where the guy calls and it ends up going to like a beach phone somewhere, and the guy picks up and goes, "Want to make a peace sign?"
What?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't hear sounds of remembrance.
I don't remember that.
That
one at all, Robert Clark Chan. I have to be honest.
I also do not.
I do also remember though the age of you would put numbers in front of the number you were going to call to use somebody else, another company's long distance plan. Do you remember that?
10, 280 or something.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, because you would get charged like 25 cents a minute calling long distance all times of day or more. And so they would encourage you to put different numbers in front of it, I believe. So you would get 10 cents a minute and save a whole lot of money. Not this guy who got his first girlfriend in college who happened to live in Ohio when I lived in Michigan, and I made a $100 phone call late at night when we were away on summer vacation. Not this guy. I could have used that service. My parents were not happy with me. What are you going to do?
What indeed?
Okay, so the guys go up into a tower And they look, the girls are now driving in, but that's going to attract the sandworm. Let's warn them. So the guys take their shirts off, or should I say Jughead takes his shirt off, and he is uncomfortably ripped.
Yeah, I enjoyed this because if you're familiar with the Riverdale show, Jughead ends up kind of being a stud. It's one of the twins. I believe it's Cole Sprouse, one of the twins from Suite Life of Zack and Cody and Zack and Cody.
You mean one
deck.
Of the kids that used to come into my miniature store all the time and hang out? That's right. Zack and Cody did that.
They're adults now, so it's okay to say that they're hot, I guess. But they ended up being studs, or I think it was Cole Sprouse was the one on Riverdale. So he ended up being a stud. So I like the fact that they laid the groundwork early, but also he has no nipples in this, which is like very common in cartoons to not give people nipples. And yeah. I would just love to know the thinking behind it, because I am afraid that it probably is like, well, you can't show nipples, that's too sexual. And then like people are like, if you're gonna draw a naked man, you gotta draw him without the nipples, so it's not sexual.
Yeah.
I need you all to look at this. Ray, I need you to post this so that everyone can see what Ray Stecanus thinks uncomfortably ripped is.
I know. As soon as Ray said uncomfortably ripped, I was like, I think that Ray doesn't know what men's bodies look like who aren't not millennial men who have two kids and maybe have let themselves go a little.
This is barely a two-pack.
Yeah.
Okay. There's one line in there to show that there is a division between the pectoral muscles. All right, I'll give you that. And then there's his ribs, like the line of his ribs. And yet somehow you're pulling Arnold Schwarzenegger from this.
Okay. A couple of things I want to say here. One, this is any Jughead being anything more than doughy is uncomfortably ripped to me.
No, second, I just think Ray is uncomfortable with anyone who isn't doughy because he has fooled himself into thinking that all men look like him. And when he is faced with the sad reality that is not the case, he spirals into depression.
Gina, yeah, I've seen all men. They do look like me. I'm sorry to say it. Second off, I just want to say, Gina, thank you for saying slightly let himself go. I thought that was very much like Betty earlier. That was a very kind thing for you to say, and it should be called out. Mm-hmm. And third of all, I feel like Gina has dated four or five Jugheads.
Oh, at least. Are you kidding me?
At the same time, I think is what he's trying to say.
Yes.
Let's be clear here. I only date Jugheads. So this is my minimal. This is like you must be this tall to ride this ride. This is a minimal amount of jacked for me that you need to be to ride this Gina ride.
I mean, we all know it.
Yeah, no lies
There's
detected.
There's no reason to belabor that point. What are we going to talk about how true theorems are next? I mean, here we are. All right. So the guys make a whole bunch of noise. There we go. It's coming for them now. So they get into the car and they drive away. They drive the car cliffside, and you can see where this is going. They drive off the cliff, jumping out of the car. The sandworm barrels out the side of the cliff, chasing after the car that went full Thelma and Louise.
Okay, so this is at least the second flat out stolen from Tremors moment. The first moment is like this jacked moment when they're stuck in the tower happens in Tremors. Even like whipping the shirt around is something that like Kevin Bacon does, but he's not like shirtless. He's just like, well, he is shirtless at some point because when he meets the woman and she has the sunblock on her nose.
Ray.
Yes.
Kevin Bacon is uncomfortably ripped.
No.
Jughead is not.
No, Kevin Bacon in that movie is just kind of lean. He's not uncomfortably ripped. He's pretty lean though, but like this
that's
flying out of the
uncomfortably ripped.
Bacon and Tremors.
Flying out of the mountain because you're being lured by something happens in Tremors.
Also, I posted that picture. I just want to point this out right now. I just posted on Twitter that picture of the Jughead abs.
The and Jugs.
Chris P. Bacon immediately responded, Chan picked this cartoon, huh? He knew, Chan.
Fair enough.
He knew.
I've been sussed out.
I'm trying to think of all the really uncomfortably jacked characters in like different properties, because that is a trope of a guy you think of as being sort of like a lesser than character, the smart kid, something like that,
who's and then takes popular. His shirt off and people are like, whoa.
Yeah, that's a very common trope.
I will say there's a moment in BoJack Horseman where Mr. Peanut Butter takes his shirt off and Diane goes, doggy doggy what now?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. It's a great show.
Also The Good Place.
Cheaty.
That's the example I was reaching for. Yeah. Cheaty is uncomfortably ripped.
You guys have no idea what average amount of ripped looks like.
Kevin Bacon in Tremors looks like averaged amount of ripped from the picture you just posted.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's average.
Yeah, that's too much.
No, oh God. Gina's like, this is average, and then shows us a picture of an Adonis.
A guy with 1% body fat, Gina's like, you know, an average guy like this. I get him all the time. What are you talking about? Sometimes I slum it and do 2% body fat.
I'm saying that's a starting point. That's a good starting point.
That's a great starting point if you can start there. I mean, look, I when I wrestled 150 years ago, I was never like ripped like that, but I was toned and I felt good about myself.
I've seen those pictures, Ray.
They're not, was I not toned? Oh, I wasn't like doughy like I am now.
I think we need to examine what these words mean. I think doughy is a completely different thing. Doughy is like you're like if you lost like a few pounds, those muscles are starting to show again.
And don't I know it? I was just sick and didn't eat for 37 straight hours, and I dropped about 8 pounds, and I look great. I should get sick more often.
Mm-hmm.
Intermittent fasting works, guys. I got this app I can sell you.
Hey, y'all remember House of Buggin?
What a great John Leguizamo. What a hero.
Oh my John God. What did you say?
I came to the conclusion I did not know how to pronounce that man's last name. I knew when I said it was a risk just now.
He's an insanely famous actor.
John Leguizamo, who? Never heard of him. He hasn't been in dozens of the greatest movies of the past 30 years.
I know he's been in Spawn and the Mario Brothers movie.
What
has he done other work?
What are you talking about? Okay, now I think you're racist. Before we were joking about it, but now I am 100% certain you are racist.
Wait a minute, why would that be? He was in the movie Spawn, and he was also in the movie Mario Brothers.
You don't know how to pronounce his name. You know two
I definitely
movies.
Do not.
You know, two movies that he's in. He's been nominated for like several, like dozens of times for awards.
He got nominated for the Mario Brothers movie?
Even just off the top of my head, which first of all, he still regularly acts. So the fact that you can't name anything sooner than like 20 years ago is insane.
No, Ray hasn't watched Ant-Man. That's not a thing. Hasn't seen, I don't know, The Mandalorian. That's probably too far back.
He was not in those. Stop it. I learned how to pronounce his name wrong the first time back in like 1994 when House of Buggin came out.
And then you were racist, so you never bothered to learn it. You've also never seen any of the Ice Age movies.
I've never seen an Ice Age movie.
His 5-year-old daughter has never seen an Ice Age movie.
There are so much children's stuff. You don't need to watch old children's stuff. We have the Disney Plus channel.
Or John Wick.
I mean, or Romeo and Juliet.
He's seen John Wick.
Or Romeo and Juliet.
I did never see Romeo and Juliet.
He's one of the most prolific actors.
Excuse me, also star of The Pest. I should have remembered that one.
Oh my God.
Excellent movie. Excellent movie. Anyway, it turns out it was the worm from 100 years ago is the worm that we're dealing with now. We have to ring the bell to sing a song. The worm is now in downtown Riverdale creating havoc everywhere. It pulls like a giant semi-gas tanker truck under. So we got to ring the bell. We figure out that's the tradition. I think we've talked about this already. I will blaze through it. The sandworm suddenly gets very brazen and is now just on the surface. Don't exactly understand why. He's eating statues. Still doesn't. I don't get it. This does not track for me. But our heroes walk down the street, ringing that bell. And I think of that song from Stranger Things. Running down the street, ringing that bell. Sandworms go away. Yeah, but you guys let me talk on forever and don't take your cues. You get me singing. I hope you're happy what you did.
I want to die.
Look,
I don't hear the voice of the worm.
Okay, this is when Chan tells us he was the worm.
The worm was the friends we made along the way, you guys.
When there was only one trail of slime behind you on the beach.
Oh, no. It's also a little bit weird that as the worm travels underground, it does the Bugs Bunny Pismo Beach bit. I just occurred to me now, why does it turn the concrete into sand? That's a little strange.
Oh, yeah.
Now that I think about it, this show makes no sense. Thankfully, it works, and the worm goes away, and we're out of time. And that is literally the end of the episode.
Yeah, there's some weirdness near the end there where
they try and cram a lesson in.
Yeah, he's trying to do like a Sex in the City kind of like. But it's all about like how tradition must be followed, and it starts to feel a little, I don't know, clanny, a little Civil War reenacty kind of.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking like this is so Deke that like there has not been a hint of a lesson throughout this thing. Like it wasn't like truly a teenage kid being like, hey, Dad, I don't feel like putting on a kilt and dancing in the old town square. Isn't that unreasonable for a teenager? It's not like, and then it's never really brought up again. And then in the end, he's like typing in his computer, Doogie Howser style.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
Like, I guess the lesson is that like, you never know what you're protecting with your traditions. And it's like, hold up, what's happening?
I thought it was really strange that the Archie mystery show would come out in favor of Civil War Southern statues in the South. But here we are.
I mean,
I thought that I'd be a real doofus for carrying on our family.
Whoa.
Also, I just really need to say that the synthesized bagpipes are the worst. Almost as bad as the synthesized rock guitar that was going on earlier. That's like, this is not like 2000s era synthesizers. This is the kind of sounds that you would get from a Casio, like a children's Casio keyboard from the late 80s. It's so bad. But then the rest of this.
I guess if I had just taken the time to learn the meaning behind the tradition, I would have realized how important it was to keep the history of our family alive. Who knows what evil lurks below the surface? And what silly traditions might save us from that evil.
I mean, sure, it's a little bit of a stretch to suggest that his entire family were segregationists. But at the same time, like my daddy's 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 daddy lived in this all white town, because I did not see a single black person here, by the way. And I start to think that maybe it's a little creepier than they are non.
I mean, here's the thing. He's like, oh, if I had taken the time to learn the history behind the tradition, it's like, yeah, I mean, I guess, are you like, or maybe your dad could have been like, hey, we have to do this or a giant worm will eat the town.
It seems like something that they wouldn't have left out.
Hey, kids, you should always do whatever tradition your parents say. because otherwise your entire town could be destroyed because of something you did. No, I'm not talking about being gay.
Yeah. Did you know that there's a YouTube channel called Buggin' Videos?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
That is just clips from House. I was looking for full episodes, but I guess I have to settle for the clip show.
Does it star John Leguagino Mamas?
That is the correct pronunciation of his name.
Yeah,
thank
Gina.
You, Gina.
Yeah. Yes. Look, listen, sometimes you learn a fact wrong and no one corrects you for like 30 years till you're on a podcast.
And you never bother to listen to an interview with the person in question because you hate Latino people.
Why? Wait a minute. Why am I hate? How dare you, first
off? Why would you know the pronunciation of the name of a guy who has 163 acting credits on IMDb? I don't know. I don't see how it's possible to have avoided it unless you were doing so deliberately.
I'm not going to lie. When you mention a bunch of these movies that he was in, I do not remember him from those movies
at
all.
It's because you think they all look alike.
Yikes.
I mean, look, it's not good. It's not a good look.
Are you talking about Michael Pena? Is that who you're talking about?
Oh, no.
He thought J-Lo starred in all those movies.
Okay, hold on. No. J-Lo was definitely in Carlito's Way. Listen, you know, people at home, you're on my side with this. You learned something wrong. There's no chance your brain can rewire it. You didn't know it was wrong for decades, and you're just too stuck in your ways to change.
you broke Chan's brain.
John Leguizamo.
That's not how you pronounce it.
No, we're going back. I just need to know.
Because how's a buggin?
Okay. Okay, cool.
Does this show take place in the Bugginverse?
Oh, God.
The BCU? The Buggin Cinematic Universe.
I hate this so much.
I think we're done.
I'm so happy right now.
I think we're done with life.
It's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.